Blog Talk Radio.
Friends, and welcome to this edition of The Spread presented by the Red Light Sports Network. I am your host, J.A., the managing director and co-founder of Cover That Spread, and I am joined by the Cazzaccio, who is on a nice hot streak. For those of you not following him on Twitter, he's at the Cazzaccio, T-H-E-E-C-A-T-R-A-C-H-O. How's it going, my friend? How's the winning streak?
It's going great. The winning streak is nice. Those who listened in last week heard me call a special one with a large money line on Guarani against the mighty Corinthians for a plus 10-11 for the win. And then again over the weekend, the Leicester versus Sunderland draw, which I believe was plus 325 at the time. So we're looking good on soccer heading into the last weekend of games, both in the EPL, Spanish La Liga, and the Italian League as well. So follow along, make sure you're listening in and following on Twitter for those picks.
Yeah, it's always fun when you start hitting these kinds of picks. You know, sometimes you hit them right away, sometimes you're having a couple hit and miss weeks, and then it starts to pick up. All right, I'm sorry about that. I dropped my phone. Dropped the call right there. That was weird. So what I was getting at is just being consistent. That's the main thing to do. You guys, if you're being consistent the way you are, making your bets, everything is going to work out well in the end. So that's the way to go. So let's get these out of the way. First off, as always, today's show, we're going to discuss line movements, futures odds, value, wagering theory, wagering strategy, and anything else that may arise. This program and the website, coverthatspread.com, is for entertainment purposes only. So any questions you may have about the legality of gambling and online wagering should be directed to your local and state legislative offices. However, if you do have the ability to place wagers, and please do so responsibly, and be sure to square up with Uncle Sam. Now, and we're having some technical difficulty here. Cazzaccio is no longer on. Now he's back on. Can he hear me? That's the real question.
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. So, all right, that's working out. So, I don't know if when my phone dropped the call, what that did, but I don't know. Man. So, we got past that. That's always a good thing when you get past the technical difficulties. As I said, if you guys aren't following Cazzaccio on Twitter, make sure you do, at the Cazzaccio, T-H-E-E-C-A-T-R-A-C-H-O. Also, be sure to follow me, at The Spread Radio, at The Spread JA, and at Cover That Spread, spelled SPRD. Small confession to make. I can't remember if I mentioned this last week or not, but I have been on vacation. So taking some time off while I knew I wasn't going to be around, so I thought instead of half-assing a lot of my wagering, let's just go ahead and take it off. And it's been good so far. You've been posting some plays. I've been keeping up with stuff. We've been texting each other back and forth.
Did we lose you again, J.A.?
Hey, Patacho, are you here still?
I'm still here.
Oh, thank God. All right. So what I was trying to get at was that I've been taking some time off. We've been discussing these plays still. Last night, you and I were right on with that Houston play, and since not everyone else gets to see our text message exchange, the way it went was the way it went down was we were discussing how teams coming off a Game 7 tend to come out and play really strong that first half of the next game. Because they're amped up, they've got a lot going for them. If they're going to steal a game against a better team, it's typically going to be that first game because they have the adrenaline going, and you gotta be your best to win a Game 7. So they were able to come out strong in that first quarter. They covered the first half spread, and more importantly, they covered the 10.5 points that they were getting overall in the game. So no surprises here that Golden State won and was not able to cover there. The next game, I'm seeing the spreads right around the same spot. Do you have a feeling one way or another on this Houston-Golden State series after what we saw in Game 1?
You know, from what I'm hearing, it's a possibility that Dwight Howard may be hampered a little bit, which was a little bit of an issue for them in this game as well, especially I think it was the third quarter when he went out. So if they have to play, you know, down a size to Golden State, which Golden State went with a small lineup when they went on their huge run, it definitely favors Golden State because they're faster along the perimeter. They can get out and get running. And, of course, as we all know, when they get hot and they're making shots, they're a tough team to stop. So if Howard's out, I would tend to go with the spread with Golden State. But if Howard is in there, then it may be another one where we could – be looking at Houston covering.
So how do you feel about the point totals with Howard out? Because that's where the whole conversation started yesterday, was you were asking about my thoughts on going over 220. I looked real quick at the four games these teams played during the regular season. I didn't feel comfortable going with that. They ended up staying under 220. So, Howard, positive or negative when it comes to point totals? How are you going to view his health?
I think, you know, that favors Golden State maybe putting up a few more points, but it also kind of hinders Houston because they don't have that guy that they can kick it into and then kick it back out that, you know, demands a double team regardless of if Andrew Bogut or Draymond Green is in the game. You know, they kind of need to have two guys on a bigger force like that. So it may help the defense of Golden State a little bit, which, you know, their defense was dialed up during the regular season. It's been in and out during the playoffs, as we've seen with the high point totals for their opponents. So that would probably help Golden State put up a few more points, but we'd be looking at Houston possibly not putting up as many. So I would definitely go with the under in the next game.
Yeah, I'm pulling that up right now to see where it is opening at. I don't think I like anything over probably 212, 213, that would be about the breaking point for me. Right now it's sitting at 220 again, so that's pretty high still in my opinion. Golden State is opening as 11-point favorites, and that's at minus 113. So it is swaying a little bit in Golden State's favor right now. That Howard injury is going to be huge, and it looks like everyone's willing to start fading on Houston because of it. I can go either way in this game, too. I understand that 11 points is a lot to be giving up, so I don't think I like betting on Golden State at that height. But at the same time, if all Houston has is the beard, I don't think I feel comfortable taking the points right there on the road where Golden State has been playing so well. And defensively, they've been playing really well, too, at home. So that's going to be a tough one. We'll see kind of where that one's going tomorrow. But, yeah, right now I think I would be leaning on just playing an under 220. But, again, I would strongly suggest everybody that's going to be playing this game needs to wait and watch that that health report that's going to come out on Dwight Howard and make sure that he is healthy, not healthy. Just understand what he is before you make a play tomorrow. Now on to tonight. We have game one of the Eastern Conference Finals, Cleveland at Atlanta. The game opened with Atlanta as 1-point favorites. That has creeped up to 1.5 points. Could be on the move a little more. Point totals at 199.5. I pretty much picked Cleveland throughout that Bulls series because I just don't understand why anyone would ever give Cleveland points or make them favored by less than 3 points. So I'm definitely sticking with my Cleveland play here on the road. So I'm going to go Cleveland plus 1.5, probably actually just seeing if that goes up a little more and trying to get the money line. Right now it's at even. I'm expecting that to maybe get to plus 105, something like that. Just get a little extra juice there. What are your thoughts on Cleveland Atlanta tonight? Where you want to go?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you as far as Cleveland is concerned. I know Kyrie Irving is a little bit banged up still. So if you look at the matchups, how it breaks down, you know, positional, I like Horford versus Mozgov. I think Mozgov will give him a little bit of trouble, you know, on the one end, but I think Horford will get the job done. Then you'd be looking at Thompson and Millsap. Thompson had a great series against the Bulls, so that one may be a bit of a wash because they're both kind of the same type of player. Then you'd be looking at the small forward matchup, which is LeBron versus Kyle Korver. That's definitely a favor for LeBron. You know, Kyrie Irving against Jeff Teague. Jeff Teague, as we saw, he went off against John Wall when John Wall was hurt. So if Irving, you know, being the kind of player that he is, where he's not all dialed in on defense, where we saw Derrick Rose, you know, having to be guarded by Shumpert and LeBron at a lot of times, I'd look at Jeff Teague to have a big series. So it really comes down to that shooting guard matchup. And Shumpert had a great series against the Bulls, as did J.R. Smith. So I think that Cleveland has a really good shot at this one. But the bench of Atlanta has been pretty good all year, and Cleveland's bench was pretty good in that Bulls series. So I think it's going to be closer than what people anticipate. But I think Cleveland will probably win in 6 games because I don't think LeBron will be denied in this one.
Yeah, I'm right with you there. The Cavaliers are just too good right now. And J.R. Smith, I thought, played well. Shumpert played really well. And the Hawks struggled to beat the Wizards a little too much for my liking. You know, they went down 2-1. Cavs did as well. But the way that Atlanta went down 2-1 was really only able to get back into that series because of the Wall injury. That's why I'm not really big on Atlanta right now. I don't think they have the ability to win this series. And I really don't think they have the ability to win game one here. I'm looking for Cleveland to come out really strong And I'm thinking that if you're going to make any kind of prop bets on LeBron James, this is the night right here. Because, like you said, Kyle Korver, if that ends up being the matchup, Korver, I don't see having the ability to guard LeBron long enough. So I would expect to see LeBron put up a 40-point night in this game. Do you think that Atlanta has a good enough defense to slow him? Obviously, they have a good enough defense to slow him down because they had one of the better defenses in the league this year. But are you that confident in Atlanta's defense, given the fact that they really beat up against a lot of lesser Eastern Conference teams throughout the year?
Yeah, I think looking over the stats, I believe LeBron averaged about 24 points per game against Atlanta during the regular season. But obviously, this is a playoffs. You know, LeBron turns into a different animal. And I know that Atlanta will be throwing some different defensive looks at him. I doubt Kyle Korver will guard him other than maybe a switch and a pick and roll. So you'd be looking at, I believe, Mike Scott would be the primary defender against him, which, you know, I think LeBron likes it when people, kind of just like Jordan used to, when people say, oh, this guy can slow him down or this guy's going to stop him. I think, you know, he'll be licking his chops at the opportunity to go up against Scott. I think Kent Bazemore will be another defender that they'll throw his way. And we may even see Paul Millsap guard him at times as well, you know, because he has a bit of a lateral quickness out there and is a bigger body that you can throw at LeBron. But definitely, like you said, I could see him putting up 40 points. And this game may be a great opportunity for him to do so. He's had a lot of time off. So I'd be looking at him to definitely have a good game tonight.
Yeah, and I just like him coming out in game one and really punching Atlanta in the face here and making sure that they understand what they're going to have to put up with. So I like Cleveland in game one. I like LeBron putting up the big game. I'm right with you there. 199.5. What do you feel, over or under?
I think the under is probably a better bet. I think, you know, Cleveland is definitely going to be guarding Kyle Korver. So, and he hasn't been playing that well during the playoffs as it is, hitting only 35 out of 100 three-pointers that he's taken. And I believe it was one for his last 12 against Washington. And Washington definitely doesn't have the defensive guys that can chase him around like LeBron, like Shumpert, even J.R. Smith. Dellavedova will probably be a guy that we'll probably see chasing Korver around as well. So I think they'll have a harder time putting up points. Cleveland on the other end as well. I think, you know, Atlanta had time to review the tape, and they'll be getting guys out on Shumpert, out on Smith on the perimeter. And they've got the guys inside to kind of, you know, keep Thompson from going off on the boards, all those offensive rebounds that he got against Chicago for second chance opportunities. So I think this one will be under that 199.
Real quick, before I give you reveal my thoughts on the point total, I don't know if you noticed, but BetDSI has finally brought back their little stats tab. So now you can look at the stat breakdown of each game. These went away after they revamped the website for a couple of months, and it was really annoying to have to go and kind of search out some of these statistics. But on the season, we've got Cleveland way as a road team. They went 18 overs, 22 unders, and a push. Atlanta as a home team went 20 over, 21 under. So kind of definitely a slight lean to this game being under. That being said, of the four games that these two teams played this season, all four of them went over 200 points, and the lowest of all of those was 203, which was the last meeting in March. And that was the only game that was under. They went three overs total, one under. The total in that game was 206.5, so it was creeping up there a little bit, and they just missed it by a couple of points. So, you know, that's that's definitely something to consider when you're looking at this. Now, it is playoff basketball, and we know that playoff basketball teams tend to pick up their defense a little bit more. If we look at the Cleveland's little stretch here, especially in that Chicago series, we saw a lot of unders. I think there was only two overs out of the six games. And Atlanta, they stayed under a lot as well against Washington. You know, they had the back-to-back games where both teams went over 100 points. But overall, I thought that they really struggled to keep any kind of offense. So I think you're right on. Under 199.5 is the way I would be leaning right here. You know, a lot of those regular season games, I don't think they're that great of an indicator of how these teams match up in a playoff series, because you have so many factors about guys kind of taking plays off, taking series off, or, you know, guys just getting extra rest in the regular season. So we're going to see one team's best defense against another team's best defense. I think this will go under. You know, that actually might be a parlay I would even consider tonight. It would be Cleveland plus 1.5 and the under 199.5. What do you got any idea? You like that?
I do like that. I'm not opposed to that parlay at all. Like you said, I think LeBron's going to come out really strong. Kyrie Irving says he's healthy. You know, Thompson's a little bit banged up, but I think he'll be looking to expand on that good series he had against the Bulls. So I like Cleveland in this game. I like them a lot, and I think that Atlanta will be dialed up defensively, but I don't know if they will be able to put up the points against Cleveland, because I think Cleveland is just going to be too dialed in. So I definitely like the under and Cleveland in this game.
All right. I like it as well. So that gets us through these next couple of games here in the NBA playoffs. What do you got going on in soccer right now? What's coming up?
So I'm looking at the schedule for Sunday with the Barclays Premier League over in England. Just rattling off a couple games that I'm looking at. Definitely like West Ham against Newcastle. Arsenal against West Brom, Aston Villa against Burnley, Leicester against QPR, Man U against Hull City, we'll be looking at as well. So those are just a few off the top of the head. All the games start at the same time because they don't want teams, you know, that are at the top, you know, not playing as well against the teams that are at the bottom to avoid relegation or anything like that. The top of the table is pretty much set with Chelsea, Manchester City, Arsenal, and Manchester United all making the Champions League next year. The ones to look out for are Liverpool and Tottenham. So those two, they're still playing for that shot to make the Champions League next year. So Liverpool will be playing against Stoke City, which should be a good game, as well as Everton playing against Tottenham. So those two will be the matches to watch and see how those are played out. Tottenham has been kind of on a downward spiral recently. Liverpool has not been playing great either. So we'll be looking at both of those teams on the road to try to get it done. But we'll see, you know, once it comes out a little bit closer, and before I tweet anything out on those games. And then we'll still be looking forward to the FA Cup on May 30th with Arsenal going up against Aston Villa. I took Aston Villa to win the whole thing a couple months ago that I tweeted out, I believe, or before I was on Twitter, but I think I had told you about tweeting that game out. They were at plus 865, so that would be a great one to cash in on. But I think, you know, Arsenal is the defending champ, so we'll be looking at them to probably win that one as well. So we may be making a hedge bet to cover our loss on the previous one. But it'll be a good weekend for soccer, definitely.
And how long are we looking at for until lost my train of thought there. So what are you going to be looking for in, like, what other tournaments are going to be out there that you're going to be taking a look at, and what are you going to look for in these tournaments to know how to play them?
So some of the stuff that's coming up also towards the end of this month will be the Champions League final. We've got Barcelona and Juventus going up against each other. This is the first time that Juventus has been to a Champions League final in quite a few years. So, you know, they kind of dominated the Italian league this year. Barcelona secured their win in La Liga last weekend by beating Atletico Madrid. So both teams will probably be taking it easy this weekend in their final league games. So that one will be a great matchup. Right now I like Barcelona, but it kind of depends going into it to see which team is healthy and which one isn't. The other leagues that I know we touched on before that are taking off right now is the Brazilian League as well as the MLS. Those ones will be taking a closer look at, you know, when June rolls around and the other major leagues are finished before we start tweeting out picks, too many picks in those, because we have touched on some of the Brazilian ones as it is already. J.A., you still with us? Did we lose you again? All right. Another one that we'll be taking a look at when it comes closer will be the Women's World Cup as well. Right now, the U.S. is a heavy favorite to win the World Cup, but we're looking at plus money on that bet as well. So that would be a good one to take right now. As we speak, I'm also seeing that the Hawks have gone up half a point for tonight's game. J.A., are you back?
I am back. I don't know what's going on today. There must be some alien activity right above my house or something that's knocking out my cell signal. But, that's good. That was a big reason why I was thinking, you know, waiting on playing Cleveland to see if where that Atlanta line moves to. So what else, I'm sorry that I missed the end of the soccer thing there. You were saying ramping up to MLS come June, once we get a little deeper into June?
Yeah, once you know, the calendar switches over to June, we'll be looking at those leagues that are starting up, such as the MLS and as well as the Brazilian League. I know we had touched on some picks in the Brazilian League previously with Corinthians, but we'll be taking a closer look at some of the other teams as well. And then we also gave a heads up on the Women's World Cup will be taking place this summer. And right now the women, the U.S. women, are favored to win, but it's still a plus money play. But that would be a great one. They're plus 275 right now with Germany, Brazil, and France kind of right behind them there, but definitely looking at the U.S. women to win that one.
Where are the U.S. women at this point compared to the rest of the world? I know it's not like it was, you know, 15, 20 years ago now, but how much farther ahead of everybody else are they?
You know, I think they're a little bit further ahead, probably because of Title IX in the U.S., you know, with the women's sports having to have as many scholarship athletes and as many sports as the men. So, you know, they get a little bit more publicity, I guess you would say, more funding for those, you know, women's teams here than they do overseas. So I would say we're still, you know, ahead of the other ones. It just depends on execution. We've seen Germany get better in the past few years. Brazil has been really good, but some of their players are aging, whereas the U.S. is just coming up with new ones over and over again. Germany's a hot one right now with a lot of new players coming up. Japan is always pretty good. France is bringing up some new players. But definitely U.S. will still be the favorite for years to come, I believe.
So if you were looking at a long shot for the Women's World Cup, who is there anybody that you like, anyone that's screaming that, hey, this is a place to throw down a small bet?
Well, Brazil, I believe, is a plus 800 right now, or plus 850. That would be a good one to possibly roll some money on. You know, they have some aging stars on the team, but they could still possibly get it done. You know, I haven't paid too close of attention to how the groups have broken down. I know the U.S. has a pretty easy group compared to some of the others that I took a quick glance at. But it's definitely something to look at as far as those other teams are concerned. The field may also be a good bet to throw in there. But we'll be tweeting that out as well as it gets a little bit closer to the Women's World Cup.
All right. Well, I've been going over the baseball board here. A couple plays that do jump out at me. 7:15 first pitch. You've got about 14 minutes to go. LA Angels plus 118 in Toronto. I do think Toronto plays well at home, but the Angels have been playing better the last couple of weeks of the season. So I'm liking the Angels in this one, taking the plus money. I also like going the Padres minus 145 at home against the Cubs. Not feeling really good about Wada on the mound, and I do like what Tyson Ross has done the last few times out there. White Sox, Carlos Rodon is pitching. I'm taking them at home against Cleveland. Minus a run and a half is paying plus 130, so the White Sox minus 1.5. And then I also like the Pirates at home against the Twins. The same thing, minus 1.5 on the run line, paying plus 155. The concern there would be the Pirates' offense, but I have a feeling they can get it done against Mike Pelfrey. And finally, the last one I'm really looking at is the Rays at Atlanta, minus 135. Odorizzi is on the mound, so looking for the Rays to be successful there. So that's going to wrap up our baseball card right there. I wanted to do a little housekeeping and just let you guys know that we are going to start breaking down the NFL. And I know it's really early. It's not even June yet. But when I started to kind of look at the schedule of where we are and what I want to do with the NFL, I figured we can do a small segment each week as opposed to trying to do everything in one show or two shows. And we're going to go over division by division. So we'll give you guys a little wrap-up of what we like about teams in that division, what we don't like, why we think they should be faded, wherever it's going to take us. So we'll go that week by week. I think if we start next week, we've got 8 divisions. That would take us – actually, if we wait a week, we'd start at the beginning of June, and that would take us one division a week for 8 weeks, would take us to the end of July. I think that would be a pretty good idea. That will also go hand-in-hand with the Spread TV, which will be doing a team-by-team analysis going into the regular season. So those will start to get posted onto YouTube probably the early to middle part of June. We're going to go backwards, reverse order. Of our power rankings, 32 all the way down to number 1, and those will be all released by the start of the season. So we'll start to see those out. You, Catracho, and I will all start breaking down the NFL divisions, seeing what we like, and start to get some ideas about possible wins, win totals, and potential win total bets. So, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun the next couple of weeks here. As the NBA is really dying down, we'll have soccer and baseball to talk about, but it's never too early to start talking about the NFL. So, any other last words of advice for this week or this evening of betting?
Yeah, I'm kind of looking at the NHL playoffs lately, especially with the Blackhawks, in the conference finals. Being a Chicago sports fan. So I like the Rangers tonight to turn it around. I know they are a goal and a half underdog, but I like that one, as well as the Blackhawks tomorrow night playing in Chicago. I believe they are a point and a half favorite. So I like both of those games over you know, the next two nights, tonight and tomorrow, but we'll see what happens. I'm not a big NHL guy, but those are...
Are you liking the money lines on those, or are you liking the spread on them?
I'm liking the money line more than the spread, you know, especially I think Tampa Bay won 6-1, I believe, the last game. But, you know, the Blackhawks have been pretty tight last night, winning in triple overtime. So I tend to look more towards the spread than the goal differential in those games.
Yeah, and did that one put that one put it at 1-1 for the Rangers and the Lightning, or is that 2-0 Tampa right now?
Both series are a game apiece right now.
Okay. So yeah, definitely some good action to get in on there. I'm with you. I do like the Rangers in this game. We'll see where they end up playing, because I know the Rangers are a lot better than that 6-1 blowout, but. You know, sometimes it's all it takes for a team like that, like the Lightning, to, you know, use that kind of motivation or use that to propel them into the finals. So we'll see where that game goes. Like you and I both are, I think, are in agreement. Rangers are the play tomorrow night. I do like the Blackhawks, although I'm going to wait on that one, see where the line goes. I may be considering taking the spread in that one and really getting some good juice on it. So that's going to wrap it up then. So we've got a lot of hockey action. We've got a lot of basketball action, a lot of good things out there. If you guys have any questions